What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. A 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Research indicates nearly 30% of U.S. students will be bullied or bully others annually. Bullying, often dismissed as a normal part of growing up, is a form of aggressive behavior ranging from elementary to middle and high school and beyond. Bullying involves the tormenting of others through verbal harassment, physical assault, or other subtle methods of coercion, such as manipulation. Wherever human beings interact, school, workplace, home, and neighborhood, bullying can happen. Many people do not realize the magnitude of bullying today. The effects of bullying can be serious and damaging. Emily Ann Regal was so severely bullied in elementary school for being overweight, she had to transfer schools. She went from being bullied to the bully. Recently released, Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are, by Emily Ann Regal, with Gene Demers, helps teens change their perspective and see their flaws in a new light. Emily Ann, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I can't wait to chat.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to it and all the words of wisdom that you can share with my listening audience. Why do you think that bullying is such a problem?
I actually think that a lack of self-esteem is what causes bullying to occur in schools. And so when I was, as you mentioned, when I was in elementary school, I was so badly bullied that I ended up switching schools. And when I did switch schools, I felt so bad about myself that I ended up becoming the bully myself. And it wasn't until I started to have really great, encouraging, wonderful friends that I started to feel good about myself, and I wanted other people to feel the same way. So I stopped bullying other people, and when I was in high school, I witnessed a lot of bullying going on in school. So I started a YouTube channel called We Stop Hate, where young people made videos telling their stories about overcoming bullying experiences and sharing their favorite confidence tips and tricks so that we could raise self-esteem as a way to combat bullying, because those who feel good about themselves don't want other people people to feel good about themselves.
Right. Well, do you feel like bullying is really on the increase, or are we just more in tune to it? What's your opinion of that?
I think with social media and everything, bullying, especially online, continues to ramp up. But my advice is to delete digital drama. And so if you have someone online who's, saying negative things or just posting negative things, don't be afraid to unfollow or, defriend or block someone or delete a comment. I think trying to choose consciously who we follow and friend online is really important.
Mm-hmm. Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are. What was the impetus for your recent book?
So Flawed, my current self-esteem guide for young people, is based on We Stop Hate's teen-made We Stop Hate videos. And so one thing that we saw, my co-writer Jeannie Demers and I, as we were transcribing and rewatching all the teen videos, was that flaws tended to be the number one thing that young people said was holding them back from full self-acceptance. A lot of times they would look in the mirror and only see their flaws. And so we challenged ourselves to create a guide that was helped you to embrace your flaws and accept them, because they tended to be the number one thing holding young people back and their biggest obstacle.
So basically what I hear you saying is that through this book you were trying to accomplish sort of an empowerment for those young folks who felt like they had so many flaws that they were getting in their way,
Right? Definitely. You know, one thing that, you know, I've come to really see is that we live in a culture that bullies us really into believing that we're not good enough, when in fact, not only are we good enough, but we're plenty good enough. And we're good enough and ready enough and important enough, just as we are, to be a light in the world and to make a positive difference. And so flawed really helps you see the fact that you're perfectly imperfect and that you're ready to make a difference in the world and shine what we call your flawed light, and really, you know, be your best self.
Now, is this book written exclusively for young folks, or can anyone, because it seemed like anyone who had some issues with their self-esteem might benefit from this book, as I read
it? Definitely. I mean, the videos are for teens, by teens, and we certainly pepper through the book so many quotes from young people, but I get a lot of questions from parents saying, you know, what can I do for my teen to make them feel great about themselves? And I think the best thing you can do is model great self-behavior. Mm-hmm. And so flawed isn't, it's a family book, you know, it's not just for
exactly.
teens, but it's for anyone who wants to feel good about themselves and stop hating who they are or hating on other people or both. It really, it is for everyone, and it also can spark a lot of great conversation. So it's a book that you can buy for yourself or your grandchildren and then read and pass on to them, or vice versa, or read with a young person in your life and really, you know, have some great, meaningful conversations with them based on what you read about in Flawed.
Well, I know it's just been recently released, earlier this month, but do you have any feel for the response, what the response has been?
Yeah, the response has been so overwhelming and in the most wonderful way. We actually received a starred review in the Library Journal, which I, you know, kind of just learned about, but apparently it's a very, very prestigious honor to have a starred review. It was, this book was considered a must read for young people. And it is. I mean, it really is all about embracing who you are, and we've received such good feedback from parents who read the book with their children, and then also from teens themselves who say, you know, they stayed up all night reading the book, and it's a book that you can definitely, you know, once you start reading, you got to read it all. It really is engaging, and we've been so fortunate to receive such good reviews.
Emily, what does bullying really involve? I mean, I know there's physical, there's emotional, there's verbal, there's a combination. What does bullying involve?
I think bullying is like mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. And so if someone's, you know, teasing you and their intentions aren't bad and it's good natured, that's one thing. But I think bullying is when you're trying to hurt or put down another person. And bullying can occur, you know, in the workplace, it can occur in the home. It definitely is not exclusive to schools. But I think if the intention is bad, then that is what I would consider to be bullying, and especially if it's constant, you know, if it's multiple times. Bullying is something that can really wear you down over time, especially.
Now, would you make a distinction between bullying and teasing, because it seems to be a fine line?
Yeah, it definitely is a fine line. I think, you know, if someone says, you know, please stop, like you're really hurting me, then continuing to say, you know, to tease them would be bullying.
Okay. And how do you get someone to that point where they say, please stop? Because as you and I both know, so many individuals who are bullied may not say anything. You know, they just internalize it, and, you know, they feel bad about themselves and they feel like they can't strike out. How do you get them to that point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you're being bullied, it is really important to have a one-on-one conversation with someone and tell them what you're going through. When I was bullied, I was overweight my entire childhood, and I got a lot of people saying, you know, you're fat or you're ugly. And I was so ashamed about it that I would not open up about it. So I tried to, you know, have my parents not know what I was going through. And I was really embarrassed about being called these ugly names. And so if you're being bullied, you know, telling someone and talking about it is a really important first step.
Well, what type of people, and I think you answered this indirectly, but what type of people bully? Who are
That's
the bullies?
So people who feel bad about themselves mm-hmm. tend to try to put other people down to try to feel better about themselves, when in fact that obviously doesn't work, and it really causes, you know, more bullying and more self-hatred when you put other people down. And so one thing that we advise that we stop hate is to compliment other people and go out of your way to make another person feel good. And when you try it, you know, you'll see how good you feel. And so doing the opposite of that is so beneficial. And then just knowing that, you know, people who are hurting other people tend to be hurt themselves. You know, the famous line, hurt people hurt people. And so a lot of times bullies are dealing with their own insecurities mm-hmm. and being empathetic of that, and just seeing that it's not personal to you, but it's personal to them. All the negative things they're saying is a great way to shift your perspective.
Does the bully start out, is his or her intentions to engage in bullying behavior, or is it an accident that they just kind of trip up into and then like the repercussions of it?
I think it could be a combination mm-hmm. of both. I think sometimes, you know, once you're in the bullying cycle, it just continues and snowballs and gets worse.
Do you find that there are settings in which bullying is acceptable or the norm?
I don't think bullying is ever acceptable. I think if someone says, you know, that they're uncomfortable and you continue to act a certain way, that is not acceptable behavior. In the book, we talk about how important it is to realize that we all have influence, and we're all influencers, mm-hmm. and meaning that we all have a sphere of influence. And so all of us, you know, listening, and every one of us has people that we influence. And so really choosing consciously what we put out into the world and using our influence in a responsible way is very important. And if you see that, you know, you're gossiping or hurting another person or, you know, doing things that are negative, you know, really reflect on that and, you know, do things that are going to make you feel good, because in turn you can feel, you know, good about other people and want other people to feel good too.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour I'm having a conversation with Emily Ann Regal, author of Flawed. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Aggressive behavior and bullying are common in elementary school to middle and senior high and beyond. Some studies suggest that around 20% of all American children have been victims of bullying at some point, and the same number have described themselves as engaging in some form of bullying behavior. Bullying can range from teasing to stealing lunch money, or a group of students physically abusing a classmate. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm talking with Emily Ann Regal, author of Flawed. Bullying comes at all levels, elementary, middle, senior high. Emily, how does one handle it? What do they do?
I think going out of your way to surrounding yourself with positive, supportive people is a great way to keep your self-esteem up and keep you positive. And in turn, you know, you don't give the attention to the bullies that they are craving, and mm-hmm. the bullying can diminish.
Now, you establish the anti-bullying organization WeStopHate.org, correct?
Yes. When I was 16, I was a sophomore in high school, and I had been making YouTube videos for fun with my friends, making a lot of comedy videos, and I thought if we came together on one channel to spread a positive message, we could really make a great difference in the world. And because of my past having been bullied and bullying others and really struggling with self-esteem, I thought that this cause would be the best thing for me to try to tackle with my peers on YouTube. And so I encourage my friends on YouTube to make videos sharing their stories and their confidence tips. And within 8 months of posting the first video to the WeStopHate.org YouTube channel, We Stop Hate was the 27th most subscribed YouTube nonprofit channel of all time. So the videos really struck a nerve. You know, none of us were experts, but we were experts in telling our own stories. And so the videos were for teens, by teens. They're still viewable on the WeStopHate.org and website and YouTube channel. And then this book, My Self-Esteem Guide Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are, is based on the stories and the tips and the advice that these young people shared in their very popular We Stop Hate videos.
Share with us again the website for the listening audience.
So it's WeStopHate.org, and we have, you know, letters that teens have written to themselves. We have the videos, links to all our social media channels. One thing that I definitely advise is following us on social media, because we share such uplifting, positive content. And so, you know, when you see a great quote or, you know, a great image on your Facebook feed or on your Twitter feed, it really can make your day a little bit better. And so We Stop Hate shares a lot of great content. We have an Instagram account. And then also, for more information about Flawed, you can go to flawedbook.com. And keep in mind, we've incorrectly spelled flawed. So it's F-L-A-W-D. There's no E in flawed. And, of course, that's purposeful, because right. We wanted to have flawed be spelled in a flawed manner.
Right, right. Would you distinguish the seeker from the knower? And I know that those are terms you use in your book.
Definitely. You know, in the book, we talk about how important it is to have an open mind. And so, you know, seeking knowledge and being curious and open to the world is such a better way to travel down your path than to just be a know-it-all or to know it all, because we're changing constantly. And so, you know, who we are one day is going to evolve the next day, whereas we grow and transform. And, you know, without growth and transformation, not only do we not have a story, but we don't have a life. And so just realizing how crucial it is to be open to all the things around us is very important.
Emily, what role do you think social media plays in contributing to bullying? I mean, I think, for example, a real basic, you have the femme heroes who often beat up and kill others, and the weak and the sick are often the ones who are despised. When we look at it from that perspective, don't you think that children may simply be imitating these values?
It does appear that way. Mm-hmm. I would say that with social media, it's really important to delete digital drama. So if you see a negative comment, you know, delete the comment. Or if you're following someone on Twitter who, you know, is posting things that are bringing you down, you know, unfollow them on Instagram or Twitter, or defriend someone on Facebook if what they're posting isn't helping you live a better life.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you have been a victim, you can share this with us. What is it like to be a victim of bullying?
It is very tough to be a victim of bullying. You know, I used to walk the hallways at school with my eyes down on the ground because I didn't want to look up and see someone laughing about me or talking about me. It was a very isolating experience for me because I was overweight growing up. And so kids would say, you know, you're so fat or you're so ugly. And if I was on the playground, people didn't want to choose me for their team. They would say, you know, you're not a good runner. And it was so embarrassing that I didn't want to tell anyone about it. You know, I didn't want my parents I was so ashamed of it, I didn't want my parents to know what I was going through. And so I really kept it bottled up inside, and it wore away at me and really hurt my self-esteem. My advice is to really talk to someone if you're going through something difficult like bullying, because if you can open up, it really makes the situation easier, and you can also start to brainstorm and think about, you know, things you can do in your individual situation so that you can feel good about yourself.
When you look at these victims and consider the victims, Why don't they stand up? Why don't they confront their bullies? What's going on? Do they feel so diminished that they don't even feel like they can stand up for themselves, support themselves, you know, advocate for themselves?
Well, I think it takes a lot of courage to stand up for yourself in a bullying situation because you're being put down. And so you start to believe those things over time. And I think with a bystander, you know, 85% of people in a bullying situation are bystanders. So they're witnessing what's going on. But if they are to step up and take a stand and, you know, tell the bully, stop bullying this innocent victim, they're putting themselves in the line of fire and they're risking their popularity. And they're also being vulnerable to then becoming bullied themselves. And so it is important, certainly, to stand up for yourself or, you know, someone who you see being bullied, but it also can be that taking someone aside and talking to them can be just as impactful and a little bit more easy to do.
Well, I know in your book that one of the key messages in Flawed is where you encourage the readers to and those who have been bullied to become a flawed light in the world. What do you mean by that phrase? And what stops readers, you know, what steps can they take to accomplish this?
Definitely. Well, I really believe that, you know, we live in a society that encourages us to think that we're not good enough, when in fact, not only are we good enough, but we're plenty good enough, and we're good enough and ready enough and important enough as we are to make a positive difference in the world, despite the fact that we're not perfect. You know, we're perfectly imperfect, and that can lead us to be a flawed light in the world. When I started We Stop Hate, I definitely didn't know all that I was doing. You know, I made a lot of mistakes and I didn't know what I was doing totally, but I still wanted to make a positive difference in the world. So I shined my flawed light bright. And, you know, using our flaws as not only the doorway to self-acceptance, but as a way to make a difference in the world by embracing who we are. I've heard the quote, "Your mess is your message." And so using those things that we're struggling with in order to help, you know, make the world a better place is being a flawed light in the world.
And also the fact that everybody has a flaw.
Yeah.
Right?
None
you
of
know?
Us are perfect. You know, I think thinking and seeing, you know, what are our strengths that can also be a weakness or vice versa.
Right.
You know, what weakness you have that could also be a strength is really important. You know, the teens and at We Stop Hate all talked about how there's always going to be something that we struggle with about ourselves, but we can be flawed and powerful.
Exactly.
You know, we don't need to be flawed and weak. But realizing that we're never going to, you know, not have something that we're trying to grow or transform about ourselves doesn't need to stop us from living the best life possible.
Would you share again your website where folks can contact you? Do you mind?
Yeah, definitely. You're welcome to visit my personal website at emilyannregal.com and follow me on Twitter, emilyann, EmilyAnne_regal, RIGAL. And also follow and join the We Stop Hate community at westophate.org. It's just one word. And on all social media, it's We Stop Hate. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just We Stop Hate. You can also learn more about the book, Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are, on the Flawed Book website, which is flawdbook.com. We've incorrectly spelled flawed, as I mentioned earlier, so there's no E in flawed. And you can learn more on flawedbook.com and read quotes that we've included in the book from young people, and also read some really beautiful reviews that we've been so honored and fortunate to receive.
Emily, what happens to bullies? I mean, do they continue into adulthood? Do they outgrow it? Can you share what happens to a bully?
Sure. I think that it really depends on the person and who they're surrounded by, but hurt people tend to hurt other people. And so if bullying, you know, and the bullies don't address their self-esteem issues or their lack of self-esteem, it's not going to get better. You know, at least I tend to believe that self-esteem issues are something in life that don't get dealt with until you deal with them. And so sometimes I receive messages from parents saying, you know, what can I do to help my child or teen feel better about themselves? And my biggest advice is to model great self-esteem behaviors yourself. And so, you know, Flawed is a guide for everyone. It's a family book because you can read it and then pass it on to a teen or a child or your grandchild. It really is something that is for everyone. It's so universal because we all can benefit from great self-esteem. And unless we've really worked on it in the, you know, before, it probably isn't going to get better. So, like, until we work on it.
Well, Emily, what are the signs that folks may pick up that someone is being bullied? You know, are there indicators, are there behaviors that we can watch for, be aware of, that may indicate that something is negative is happening in this individual's life?
Yes. I would say that looking at, you know, trying to figure out what is someone trying to gain from the bullying. Are they looking for attention or power? You know, there's all different reasons why people bully and hurt other people. And so trying to figure out what is the root cause, and then seeing, you know, what other ways can a child or a student gain what they're looking for without bullying. You know, there are definitely other ways to get attention or influence. And so really trying to find the root cause is a good way to see, you know, how we can stop bullying.
And what about that person that is being bullied? Are there behaviors that, that teachers or parents might watch for that may indicate, wow, something might be going on with this student, or something may, you know, something's not just right with my daughter. I noticed, you know, she really doesn't want to go to school or whatever. Are there behaviors that they can be aware of, the parent or the teacher?
Certainly. I definitely suggest, you know, going online and Googling bullying, you know, symptoms and things like that, because I think that's a great way that you can, you know, have a long list of research and everything. But I would say, you know, talking, if you think, you know, something's not right with my son or daughter, you know, just feels wrong, you know, try to talk to the teacher or someone at the school about what might be going on, and definitely talk to your son or daughter. Because, you know, if you open up that method of conversation and just say, you know, like, hey, like, let's sit down and talk about it. It might make it easier for a child to open up about what they're going through compared to just wanting them to say it on their own.
So communication and open communication is something that parents, caregivers may really encourage on an ongoing basis, so that if their child does become a victim of bullying, maybe they will be more inclined to talk about it.
Yes.
Encouraging them.
I really think Flawed can be a big help with that, because so many different concepts are written about in this book, and almost every page is, you know, can spark a conversation.
You, in your book, you talk about choosing consciously. What are some tips for steering clear of what we're talking about really is negative influences? These negative influences are out there in the world. And so how does one choose consciously?
I think taking a moment and being mindful of what you're letting into your life is very important. And so, you know, don't be mindless when you're thinking about who you're surrounding yourself with. If you notice something that someone's doing is negative, you know, don't just pass it off, but rather kind of take a moment and think about it, and then realize, you know, whether you want to proceed with this person being close to you or not.
Mm-hmm. How early have you noted bullying to start?
I think bullying, you know, can start as young as, like, preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Kids tend to model what they see at home. And so if negative things are happening at home, they can easily bring it into a school setting.
Yeah, and that in turn may be an indicator to that teacher that something is going on very negative in that child's environment. If they see, you know, aggressive behavior with the interaction of the child in school, that might tell them something. Would you agree, or where do you sit on that?
Yeah, I definitely think that how a child acts is certainly an indication of the environment that they're being raised in.
Okay. How does one, or how would you recommend that one address that in the early stages? Because it seems like if you get them early, you can wipe it out early.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, talking to a professional is a great way to do that. You know, certainly I'm still a college student. I definitely don't consider myself to be an expert. And
right.
I'm an expert in my story and what I've gone through. But I definitely think the, you know, some things you got to leave to the professional.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me on phone is Emily Ann Regal, founder of WeStopHate.org. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. We are looking at various issues that confront our daily lives. This hour, we are examining bullying, and we're talking about a recent book out called Flawed. We have the author here. Her name is Emily Ann Regal. Emily, where do we go from here? What do we do? And when I say that about having issues with bullying, you know, I'm talking about, are there some traps? I know that you've identified some key traps for us to avoid. Would you talk about those traps that you have identified?
Yeah, I think some traps we can fall into is being surrounded by negative people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we, choose consciously who we're hanging out with on a day-to-day basis, that is a really great way to ensure that we'll have healthy, positive, wonderful lives.
Any suggestions about the school overall? What role can the school play? Many I've talked to people in the past who've mentioned how teachers and administrators, when they were in school, just kind of looked the other way. Kids will be kids. That's a part of growing up. How do you feel about that?
I would say that a lot of teachers, you know, care so deeply about their students, and that if a student feels like, you know, maybe their teacher isn't the one they want to talk to about what's going on, finding another adult in the school setting who can be of help to them and be a hero to them is just as good. You know, that's a good way to go about it. So if you do think that your teacher isn't someone who you want to confide in, you know, I'm sure there are wonderful adults at the school who would be a great help.
Okay. And as far as the teachers go, what about the parents? Are there things that you think parents could do? Maybe they aren't aware of hearing it come from you, who has sat on both seats. You've been the bullyee and you've been the bullier. What kind of advice would you offer them?
I think for parents, you know, talking to your child and talking to people at the school is very important, and also just connecting with other parents as well. You know, it's good to talk to people who are going through what you're going through, and parenting can certainly be very difficult at times. And so connecting with other parents is a great way to gain resources and advice and to share what's going on in your life. I think that's very important for the overall picture of raising a child or teen.
You've talked about earlier, and in your book you mentioned it all through the book, about the role of self-esteem. And just what role, you're saying, does self-esteem play? That person who has very low self-esteem is going to be one who will be bullied or one who will bully?
I think that people who feel bad about themselves think that a way that they can make themselves feel better is by putting other people down, when in fact that is so detrimental to the person they're putting down and to themselves as well. And so I think self-esteem plays a huge role in the bullying equation, because people who feel good about themselves and, you know, love what they're doing and have hobbies and passions, they want other people to have that same joy and experience that same joy. And so if people feel good about themselves, they're so much less likely to put another person down.
And how do we get people to feel good about themselves? What were the kinds of things that you found made you feel good about yourself, got you to the point that you are now?
I really embraced journaling. In the book, we talk about blabbing it out. And so having like a 15 to 20 minute, you know, where you're with a pen and paper or with your computer, a blank Word document on screen, and just writing stream of conscious style what you're feeling is a great way to see and engage with what's going on with you. So I definitely took to my journal and wrote about what I was dealing with and feeling, and it really was amazing to me what I would then reread after I just wrote it, you know, and I was telling the truth and the really true truth. It's very important that when we're talking about what we're going through, whether it's through a journal or talking to someone about it, that we're honest. You know, honesty is key, because we can't get anywhere if we're not telling the really true truth about ourselves.
Okay. And you also encourage your readers to celebrate their flaws. How does one celebrate their flaws? What are some of the ways that they can celebrate their flaws? What do they do?
I think, you know, first just accepting your flaws and being honest and open about what it is that you're struggling with is the first way to embrace it. And then also looking at your weaknesses and saying, you know, what is this weakness, but how could it be a strength for me too? Because sometimes, you know, our weaknesses can definitely be double-sided and have good components to them, or, you know, motivate us to be better people. And so just being open about what we're going through and facing it is so important when it comes to our flaws, and just making sure that when we look in the mirror, you know, if we only see our flaws, it's hard to be our best self. And so doing things like making sure that you're around other people who are great and then, you know, loving and supportive are really good ways to start to gradually feel good about yourself.
So what I hear you saying is, you know, the company you keep is an integral part of feeling good about yourself, establishing self-esteem. Because if you are around negativity, if you're around those who are going to continually put you down and make you feel like nothing, that doesn't help either.
Yes, certainly.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's a part of it. You have made great strides. And I ask you this because you may be able to offer some light to those who are in the same place that you were in, I guess. What do you say? How do you get there? I mean, you've given us a lot, you know, a good recipe, but how do you get to that point? I mean, feeling positive, overcoming negativity. These are all serious components of the individual when they are being bullied. But how do they get there? Was there any particular thing that just kind of pushed you on and made you go, okay, I'm going to be honest with myself? Because being honest is not easy to do in itself. That is a major feat right there. Lots of times you have people who are dealing with denial. They're just not seeing things as they are. And I wanted you to share a little bit more about how you got where you are.
For me, it was a really gradual process.
Okay.
And so I think that, you know, it's not like there was just one aha moment in terms of feeling good about who I am, who, you know, all the things about me, but it's gradual.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one day I sort of began to accept one thing about me and then another. And also just doing good acts for other people and, mm-hmm. you know, living my passions. You know, I created We Stop Hate when I was 16, and through doing this project, I had successes, I had failures, and learning how to bounce back from the failures was a really great way that now when something happens that, you know, isn't how I want it to be, I think back to the times when I overcame difficult experiences and struggles, not just with We Stop Hate, but with my own, you know, personal life and
mm-hmm.
everything. I think I've gradually learned to give myself the grace to fail, because not everything that any of us do is going to work out how we always, you know, wanted. Certainly some things
mm-hmm.
are going to blow our minds in the best way and really exceed our expectations, but it's everything, you know, there's good and bad with everything. And so there's success and failures with all projects and initiatives and just life in general. And so being able to reflect on what we've gone through and see, you know, what did I learn from that experience? Or that wasn't the easiest, but I'm proud of myself because I was able to make it a little bit better or keep my smile on through something difficult. I think all of that is gradually how I started to feel good about myself. I'm the first to acknowledge when I'm proud of myself or I've made improvements. You know, there are a lot of situations that I've gone through where I think back, oh, well, if this was happening to me last year, I would have handled it way worse than how I handled it today. And so I might not have handled it, you know, today perfectly, but if it's better than how it was, I can feel proud of myself and realize and be honest and truthful about what I need to make even better, but yet still say, okay, these are the things that are better, and be proud of that and happy about that, and remember to celebrate, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
it's celebrating our strengths, celebrating our improvements, celebrating in life is such an important thing to do.
And what I also heard you say is that failure is very important, that one needs to experience failure because you learn and you grow from experiencing failure.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, failure is inevitable, and how we deal
mm-hmm.
with it is going to be a huge indicator of how our happiness.
Do bullies continue into adulthood?
I think it, as we said earlier, it really stems back to self-esteem. And so if they can deal with their self-esteem issues, no, they wouldn't
mm-hmm.
continue to bully.
Are there lasting effects of being bullied? I mean, what are they, and how do these effects impact your life?
There are so many big effects of being the victim of bullying. I think
mm-hmm.
you know, anxiety problems can stem from having been bullied, depression. We can definitely try to, you know, we can use our past to create the future that we would like. And so certainly the consequences can be positive to some extent. If we think about how far we've come and what's changed, and we can see what we want and don't want in the people around us. But obviously, there are going to be some consequences that come from being the victim of bullying.
An interesting statistic I read was that 60% of the people who were considered bullies in grades 6 through 9 are convicted of at least one crime by the time they turn 24.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard that statistic, but that is so interesting to hear.
Mm-hmm. You know, so the effects must continue on. We know that the effects,
wow, yeah,
you know,
that's a very
they have a serious
statistic.
Serious impact, okay? So,
definitely.
Where do we go? Where do we go from here? You talk about encouraging readers to celebrate their flaws. Anything else, any other suggestions that you would make in these last few minutes that we have in the programming? Are there any suggestions that you may offer to those who are experiencing aggressive acts? How they may handle them, how the parents may handle them. Do the parents need to, when do parents intervene? Do you allow the child to handle it on his own? Those are all issues that I've read that come up. If the parent intervenes, what does that say about the child? The child needs to learn how to handle it on its own. So I wanted to have you respond to some of that since you know firsthand.
Yeah, I think that my biggest advice is to remember that you're good enough as you are, and to remember that people who are putting you down are struggling with their own issues. And so don't take what they're saying to heart and focus on the good people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was making YouTube videos, I would receive many positive comments and then a handful of negative ones. And in the very beginning, I would be so upset about the negative comments that I would, you know, fall asleep at night in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And really almost it made me stop wanting to make videos. And so when we're able to focus on the good in our life, our life can be really good. And so eventually I realized that I wasn't going to let the people who were saying mean things stop me from posting YouTube videos, but it took a while for me to think that way. And so now, you know, I'll delete a comment or I'll just not focus on it, and I'll focus on the good comments. So I think if we can focus on the great things about our life, we can really have such a nicer perspective.
Right. And I think that would be very, very helpful, because what you're talking about, one of the keys of your book is increasing your perspective. Because once you increase that perspective, you broaden that perspective, you add positives to that perspective, that in turn helps you in dealing with what you're confronted with.
Yes.
You agree? You would agree strongly with that?
Oh, I do. I strongly agree with that.
Okay. And right before we close, again, would you share the website, how one contacts you, if they want to get the book? Could you share that information with us?
Certainly. So you can visit our website at westophate.org. We raise self-esteem as a way to combat bullying, because people who feel good about themselves want other people to do the same. And I have a book that just came out called Flawed, How to Stop Hating on Yourself, Others, and the Things That Make You Who You Are. Flawed is incorrectly spelled, so it's Flawd. We did that on purpose to spell it in a flawed way. So if you go to flawedbook.com, that's mm-hmm. Flawedbook.com.
Any words of wisdom that you would like to share before we close to those who may be parents, again, teachers? And the reason I've asked so much, because I think your information is so invaluable, because we're speaking directly to you. You have experienced what we're talking about. You know, it's not someone who's just sitting on the sides and decides, oh, I'm going to write about this. But you've been there and you've done that and you're still doing it. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
I would say that my advice is to be yourself and to do the things that you love, and find people who love to do what you do. I think finding people who are like-minded and share passions that we have is a great way to feel great about who you are. And so, you know, if you don't like something, don't pretend to like it just because it'll make you cool or popular, but be yourself and be true to who you are. We have shirts at WeStopHate.org that say, be beautiful. So be you, and that's beautiful. And I definitely think we should all strive to discover who we are and to be ourselves wholeheartedly.
And to love ourselves.
Yes.
Okay. Emily, thanks so much. I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time to share your experience with 411 Teen. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen Podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.